Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available, Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached by calling 518-0924. This is KCFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. News, which wrote about the newly released UN report that estimates 1 million animal and plant species are under threat of extinction because of human activities. The 1,800-page report by the Intergovernmental Science and Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services drew on over 10,000 reference sources to assess the global state of nature and kept 450 scientists busy for 3 years producing that. Officials are now putting together a 39-page summary, incorporating key messages from the full report, which will be issued to policymakers over the next 6 months. The full study says that the human need for increasing amounts of energy and food are driving the decline, the speed of which is unprecedented, and while the trends can be halted, this will take transformative change in how humans treat the planet. The report is an indictment of how humanity has treated planet Earth, at least bear some of the consequences of human behavior. It says that while humans have negatively impacted Earth throughout human history, it is in the last 50 years that the damage has been consolidated. Think about that, right? 50 years? That's just like from 1970 till now. In this time period, the global population has doubled, the global economy has quadrupled, and with international trade skyrocketing, the impact of feeding and providing energy and resources to human beings has been devastating. Urban areas have doubled since 1992. The study noted that 100 million hectares of tropical forests were lost in the two decades between 1980 and 2000, which is meant to say what's happened between 2000 and 2020, right? That amount of land is about 247 million acres. The whole state of California is about 100 million acres, so it's like two states of California worth of tropical forest converted to agriculture. These tropical forest ecosystems were mainly replaced by cattle ranching and palm oil plantations. Pulled straight from the UN website, the tropical forest area loss was caused mainly from cattle ranching in Latin America for about 100 million acres and plantations in Southeast Asia, of which about 80% was used or converted to palm oil plantations, which we find mostly in food, cosmetics, cleaning products, and fuel, among others. The report also highlighted that waste is a problem, with plastic pollution increasing 10 times since 1980, with 300 to 400 million tons of heavy metals, solvents, toxic sludge, and other waste dumped into global waters annually. The report did not single out or tease out the impact of animal waste. We certainly have talked about that on the show previously, particularly in the Gulf of Mexico with dead zones with no oxygen in them because of nitrogen runoffs, as well as similar dead zones off of the coast of North Carolina where there's a lot of chicken and hog agriculture going on. The impact of all this cases that animal and plant species are being killed at a faster rate than ever before. The UN assessment estimates that around 25% of animals, insects, and plants are now under threat. Coordinating lead author of the assessment and University of Minnesota professor Dr. Kate Brown said that, quote, "We have documented a really unprecedented decline in biodiversity in nature that is completely different than anything we've seen in human history in terms of the rate and decline and the scale of the threat. When we laid it out all together, I was shocked to see how extreme the declines are in terms of species and in terms of the contributions that nature is providing to people. When it comes to what steps individuals can take to lessen their impact, Dr. Brownman added that, quote, "We know that the way people eat today is often unhealthy for them and for the planet. We can become healthier as individuals by eating more diverse diets with more vegetables, and we can also make the planet healthier by growing that food in more sustainable ways." Right? So that was the plant-based news summary of the UN assessment on biodiversity loss. A little bit extra on there, I went to the UN website, and they noted there that to increase the policy relevance of the report, right, so this report was prepared for policymakers, our politicians, our agency leads, to use as tools as they craft new policy moving forward, responsive policy to biodiversity loss. The assessment's authors have ranked for the first time at this scale and based on a thorough analysis of the available evidence, the five direct drivers of change in nature with the largest relative global impact so far. And these drivers are in descending order, so the most important first. One, changes in land and sea use, right? That's your conversion of land to agriculture. That's your industrialized fishing covering more and more of the ocean surface. Number two impact is direct exploitation of organisms. Number three is climate change, right? So climate change is number three. Number one is changes in land and sea use, which is stuff that we eat and wear. Number four is pollution. And number five is invasive alien species. So we can read about in the New York Times how Australia has proceeded to program to exterminate feral cats because of the threat to the many endangered marsupial species, but that's a small part of the global problem. I promise we will talk about that Australian cat culling on a future episode. I'm just trying to figure out the best way to approach it. So that was an article from Plant-Based News on the UN assessment of biodiversity loss. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio hosted by Jeannie Trezino. If you want to follow more current news and animal-related news, I invite you to follow the Non-Human Radio Facebook page, where there's a lot more of this kind of news being posted, as well as local events and activities. Our next news story is an update on the Modoc County Wild Horse Roundup by the U.S. Forest Service that we've been reporting on since late last year. The website Courthouse News reports that a federal judge has urged the U.S. Forest Service to work out a deal with animal rights activists who claim a plan to shrink the wild horse population in a Northern California forest will cause some horses to be slaughtered. After umpiring 90 minutes of debate on whether a decision to sell horses rounded up in Modoc National Forest without limitations was a policy change that requires an explanation and an environmental review, U.S. District Judge James Donato seized upon what he called a breakthrough moment. That moment came when Justice Department lawyer Ricky Turner said that the U.S. Forest Service will, quote, never knowingly sell a horse for slaughter for human consumption. That seems like such a minor thing to say, right? I mean, it's an important thing, but it seems like such an obvious thing to say. The judge seized on that before capitalizing on the government's pledge to urge settlement talks. Judge Donato appeared to favor arguments that the decision to sell horses without limits was a dramatic change in policy that required notice and public comment. I do not see any evidence in the record that this is anything other than an abrupt and major shift in Forest Service policy, the judge said. William Eubanks II, a lawyer for the plaintiff, the Animal Legal Defense Fund, implored the judge to continue forward with ruling on the group's motion for a preliminary injunction to block the unrestricted sale of horses, despite the government's vow not to sell horses for human consumption. Eubanks said that the lawsuit is not just about selling horses for slaughter, it's about the Forest Service's dramatic shift in policy from selling horses with limitations to selling them without limitations, Eubanks told Courthouse News. Although no facilities slaughter horses in the United States, so-called kill buyers can buy and ship horses to slaughterhouses in Canada and Mexico, where horse meat is processed and sold overseas. Mono County and a group of ranching interest groups who previously sued the Forest Service for letting wild horses deplete their grazing resources. This is public land, which the Bureau of Land Management has issued grazing leases, but that does not inherently make that land belong to cattle ranchers. Nevertheless, ranching interest groups sought to intervene in this case. The rancher suit against the government in the Eastern District of California is currently on hold as both sides try to reach a settlement. Several ranchers from Modoc County traveled 350 miles south to attend the hearing in San Francisco. One of those ranchers was T. Wilson, who manages about 200 cows on private and public land in Modoc County. Wilson said an overpopulation of horses poses major problems for ranchers. Because they have no predators, the horses grow exponentially in number and drain resources that cattle and other wild animals need to survive, he said. Of course, does he really care about other wild animals, or does he only care about the cattle? You can see where the cards are laid, and you can make a reasonable assumption there. Regarding the judge's suggestion that both sides try to work out a deal, Wilson said that he thinks it's important to step forward. Christopher Berry, a staff attorney with the Animal Legal Defense Fund, said the organization was surprised by the government's vow not to sell horses for human consumption and hopeful about reaching an agreement. Judge Donato asked both sides to try working out the language for an agreement to resolve the case over the next 30 days, adding he could refer them to a magistrate judge for help if necessary. According to the government, the Modoc National Forest already sold or gave up for adoption 180 wild horses rounded up last fall. Only 18 horses remain subject to potentially unrestricted sales this year, but an operation to corral more horses is, of course, planned for later this year, and we will let you know when that happens. Animal Legal Defense Fund's co-plaintiffs include the American Wild Horse Campaign and Carla Bowers, a California resident who regularly visits Modoc National Forest, where she enjoys observing, photographing, and studying the wild horses. The plaintiffs claim that the alleged plan to sell wild horses for slaughter violates the Wild Free Roaming Horses and Burros Act of 1971, along with other federal forest management, environmental protection, and administrative process laws. The 1.6 million acre Modoc National Forest has for decades managed wild horses that roam free in its famed Devil's Garden Plateau wild horse territory. More concrete help may be on the way for Modoc County's wild horses. The California Assembly unanimously passed a bill that would require auction houses in the state to proactively remind potential buyers of domestic and wild horses that California law forbids the sale of horses for slaughter for human consumption. That bill, AB 128, is now in committee in the Senate. And interestingly, that AB 128, I went and looked it up on the California Legislative Info website. Paragraph 1 of it says, the horse is part of California's heritage, having played a major role in California's historical growth and development. Horses contribute significantly to the enjoyment of generations of recreation enthusiasts in California. And the second section of this legislation is, wild, free-roaming horses and burros are living symbols of the historic and pioneer spirit of the West and are protected as such under federal law mandating that they may be considered part of the natural system of public land where they are found. That's pretty significant. That says that they must be managed as if they were, as they are, native to that ecosystem. What's not native? Cattle. What are we managing for? Primarily cattle. What's wrong with that picture? Okay. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KCFR 90.1 FM. Our next news story is is also related to wild horses and is from an article from the Associated Press published late April, April 25th, 2019. Animal welfare groups have reached a milestone agreement with ranching interests that they say would save wild Mustangs from slaughter. But the compromise has opened a nasty split among horse protection advocates. The Humane Society of the United States and the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals say that their proposal, backed by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and the American Farm Bureau Federation, would eliminate the threat of slaughter for thousands of free-roaming horses, primarily by spending thousands of dollars on expanding fertility controls on the range. As part of the deal presented to the BLM, the groups are willing to drop their long-held opposition to controversial roundups of the horses. These are fighting words from the largest Mustang advocacy groups that have been in court for years defending the abilities of the horses' ability to forage with cattle and sheep in 10 western states. The unprecedented alliance has ignited fierce opposition from the American Wild Horse Campaign and Friends of Animals, both of which are currently leading a legal challenge to Forest Service efforts that could, for the first time, make Mustangs recently rounded up along the California-Nevada border available for purchase for slaughter. Right, so this is integrating with this Devil's Garden Lodi County Forest Service roundup. This is directly compelled by that. There's a quote from the American Wild Horse Campaign. The groups promoting this plan have been co-opted into supporting the livestock industry's agenda for wild horses by the BLM's vague promise to utilize, quote, undefined population growth suppression methods, including surgical sterilization, the campaign said. By mandating the removal of a startling 15,000 to 20,000 horses a year, the plan will result in the reduction of America's wild herds to extinction levels. It's a sellout, added Laura Lee, who has monitored roundups for nearly 20 years and heads the Nevada-based Wild Horse Education Group. Nancy Perry, the ASPCA's senior vice president, acknowledges that they're in frightening territory with a bold approach that no one has taken so far. Nancy Perry told the Associated Press that, quote, not every advocate wants to engage with or work with those that they have been in battle with over the years. But BLM's current policies are ineffective if they continue on the route they're on now. It means disaster. In addition to the cattlemen's powerful lobbying arm, the package has the support of the Society for Range Management, Utah's governor, and rural county commissions in both Utah and Nevada. Ethan Lane, senior executive director for the Federal Lands for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, I can't believe it, it's astonishing to me, and his Public Lands Council told the Associated Press that after years of all of us being in our bunkers on this issue, this proposal represents some real common ground among stakeholders that have never appeared on the same document before. The Humane Society and the ASPCA have a view that what my members do to put food on the tables is inherently bad. For us to be able to come together and find some common ground on this is significant. It is really astonishing. I'm looking forward to see how this plays out. This is an animal welfare group versus another animal welfare group with cattle ranchers in the mix. It's astonishing to me. Others who bought into this agreement, in addition to the Humane Society of the United States and ASPCA, is the American Mustang Foundation and the California-based Return to Freedom Wild Horse Conservation Groups. Return to Freedom President Nena DeMayo said, quote, we need to work together with other stakeholders who have diverse interests. Rebecca Goldrick of the ASPCA said that they're seeking a $15 million increase in the BLM's current $80 million horse budget, which would eventually save money as herds shrink. This is because the BLM has estimated that 83,000 wild horses and burros roamed public rangelands last year, more than three times what the agency says the land can support. Another 50,000 wild horses who have been removed from the range in recent years are in holding facilities at an annual cost of about $15 million. So this is what they're hoping not to have to do, to have to keep housing horses in wild horses in corrals. UN spokesman Derek Henry said the development was encouraging, telling the Associated Press that, quote, the BLM welcomes their ideas and support and are committed to working together with the public to identify an effective and sustainable strategy for addressing chronic overpopulation. Horse advocates, on the other hand, have argued that the animals must be permitted to roam the range in federally protected management areas established under the Free Roaming Horse and Burro Act of 1971. They say that BLM's population quotas are often outdated and lack scientific data to support roundups to cull herd sizes. The new proposal advocates roundups in densely populated areas that cannot sustain a large number of animals and would also move horses currently in short-term holding pens to larger, more, quote, cost-effective, humane pastures with a free roaming environment. Most importantly, the proposal said, a fundamental aspect of the proposal is that it will prohibit the killing of healthy wild horses and burros or their sale to slaughter. So this will be very interesting to watch. I do agree with what ASPCA Vice President Nancy Perry said, that what we have right now is unsustainable. We don't have a solution now for the horses. We just have a stalemate. Whether linking it up with the American Cattlemen's Association to move forward on this is it looking out to be a good idea? I do not know. I have my doubts. I'm always in fear of the horses, but it seems as if the position of the ASPCA is if we don't do anything, we need to fear for the horses. And this way forward with the American Cattlemen's Association is at least has some potential to negotiate something good for horses, wild horses overall. And it's just an example of the issues that we have right now and that we will continue to face as globally, as humans continue to need resources or think that we need resources from wild lands. That's what we're doing when we put cattle directly in competition with wild horses and say, which has the greater value? Well, if you're making a living on ranching cattle, what other answer do you have? Well, as a society, in 1970, we said that, you know, the wild horses have intrinsic value. So this is the battle we seek playing out. If you need to see links for these articles and others, they will be posted on the Non-Human Radio Facebook page. And also, you can check us out on the Chico Vegan Instagram. I repost that same information there. We have one more wild horse news piece. That is also from the American Wild Horse Campaign. It announced yesterday that on May 14th, 2019, that despite multiple lawsuits, federal injunctions, and overwhelming public opposition, the Bureau of Land Management announced on Monday that the agency is again moving ahead with sterilization experiments on captive wild mares. It will be the third time that the agency has attempted to implement the controversial and cruel procedure that is being pushed by a livestock industry lobbying group financed by Lucas Oil. Brianna Schwartz, who's the policy counsel for the American Wild Horse Campaign, made a statement that it is irresponsible and a waste of tax dollars to continue to pursue objectionable experiments while scientifically recommended and cost-effective sterilization vaccines are readily available for humane management right now on the range. The BLM still plans to carry out the experimental surgery procedure, which is called ovariectomy via colpotomy. In this procedure, it's a little gruesome. A veterinarian cuts into a mare's vaginal wall, places their hand and arm through the vagina in the abdominal cavity, and then manually and blindly locating the ovaries to sever it and remove them with a rod-like chain tool called an ecrusser. According to the BLM's environmental assessment, the agency plans to carry out the procedure on 100 mares rounded up last October and currently held in the BLM's Wild Horse Corrals in Hines, Oregon. Of those mares, only 28 to 34 would return to the range as part of the experiment, and only for the roughly 3-year duration of the study. The others would be put up for adoption after the surgery. The American Wild Horse Campaign stresses that this is the BLM's third attempt to experiment on wild mares by removing their ovaries. In 2016, the American Wild Horse Coalition and the Cloud Foundation sued to uphold their First Amendment right to observe the experiments, the major objective of which was to determine the social acceptability of the procedure. To avoid public observation, the BLM canceled the study. Well, there you go, right? That's, like, pretty telling. If you have a procedure that you cannot conduct under public view, and you're a public agency using taxpayer dollars to do that, and you decide to cancel your study, how significant can it be? In 2018, the BLM announced that it was moving forward with the SPAY feasibility study, even after two major research institutions, Colorado State University and Oregon State University, ended their affiliations with the project. At that time, the American Wild Horse Coalition and the Animal Welfare Institute went to court, represented by counsel, and obtained a preliminary injunction to stop the BLM from proceeding. And then, now a year later, the BLM announced that it would abandon those experiments, and yet it's resuming them yet again. So I can see why horse advocates would not want to work with the Bureau of Land Management in any way because of this kind of behavior of continually coming back to the same bad idea and hoping that no one's going to be watching. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio by KCFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino. And now it's time for the Chico Vegan and Animal Rights Calendar of Events. Please get ready to mark through those calendars. We have a couple of vegan-friendly events that are coming up. That will be on May 25th. The Chico Vegan Potluck is being held on Saturday, May 25th at 6 p.m. at the Chico Public Library on Sherman Avenue. You can find potluck details on the schedule for the whole year at chicovegan.com. And Plant-Based Chico will be holding their meeting on Thursday, May 30th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Chico Guild Hall at 2775 Old North Avenue. For more information, check out the Plant-Based Chico Facebook group. And that was it for the calendar. If you have an event to share, send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com. And please do check out Chico Vegan on Instagram. We have a lot of food for thought and a lot of food news about local food, local vegan food pop-ups that are coming around Chico. I have one last piece of business to close out today's show, and that is the animal rights quote of the week. Today's animal rights quote of the week is about the cost of lies that we tell ourselves. It is taken from the producer of the HBO docudrama on the Chernobyl nuclear disaster, Craig Mazin. I just started watching that show. It is riveting. He also has a podcast that he is doing, and on this podcast he had this wonderful insight on this terrible disaster that I thought was applicable to the behavior of our society in general towards animals and the environment. Craig Mazin said, "When people choose to lie, and when people choose to believe the lie, and when everyone engages in a very sort of passive conspiracy to promote the lie over the truth, we can get away with that lie for a very long time. As humans, we are so susceptible to storytelling. That's why we tell stories, because we like them. Stories are sometimes a very good way to convey interesting truths than facts. But stories can be weaponized against us to teach us anything." So, I take from that that we need to be careful what stories we choose to listen to and what we choose to tell ourselves and our friends, because sometimes those stories are killing innocent animals, and they're definitely killing the planet. Show notes and links to the articles mentioned in today's show will be posted to the Non-Human Radio Facebook page and to the Instagram account under Chico Vegan. This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KCFR, its board, its volunteers, its underwriters, or its staff. We do, however, reflect the opinions of our non-human fellow earthlings who would rather not be killed and eaten, rounded up, farmed, hunted, raised, experimented upon, and otherwise abused. Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist rockers Rise Against. Please stay tuned for KCFR's weekly public affairs program, The Real Issue, coming up next from 6 to 7 p.m. This is Jeannie Trezino signing off. And remember, be different, be better, be kind, and go vegan.